Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you enjoyed being outside this weekend? Anyone get a chance to be outside? Thank you. It was a little hot, but we got to soak it in. The long winter's coming. How many of you think we need to take better care of the earth? Anybody think we need to be? Thank you. We need to start taking it very seriously. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is saying thanks for creation. And thank you for coming. It's supposed to be really, really hot today. I don't know about you, but I noticed that humidity when I went out the door this morning. This morning, you will learn something about Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old climate change activist from Sweden. You will learn about a third biblical story of creation and how it affected the early church's understanding of who Jesus was for them. And it's a story of creation that puts human beings in a more positive light that we need to regularly hold up and celebrate. Can I share a little bit of my story with you this morning? Thank you. Margo and I have been out to between Banff and Jasper and have driven that highway. It's beautiful, the mountains. I think part of it is called, is it called the Glacier Parkway? I hope I have that name right. And there's a visitor center there. And then you can take the road out to be at the base of the glacier. And there was something that struck me there. The little signs by the side of the road, you know, 1870, you know, a little post, and learned at the visitor center that's where the glacier was in 1870. Then maybe 1890, you know, 1900. And they're all fairly close together. And as you got closer to the face, guess what happened? Those signs became farther and farther apart until, because they weren't very big signs, you couldn't even see the next one. I was dismayed by that, and again reading an article this summer where the amount of ice melting in Greenland was incredible and the impacts for us. So this morning's question, you can think about it on your own or choose to talk to a neighbor. You know I like to hear the buzz. Do you or don't you believe in climate change, and why? Do you or don't you believe in climate change, and why? Go, find a neighbor, introduce yourself, say hello. Please stop. Thank you. It's a huge topic, and we can talk about it for quite a while. Today is Cosmos Sunday, and as I mentioned in my weekly email, a season of creation has been inserted into the September lectionary readings for optional use if you would like, to try and increase the profile of God's creation in the church year, and the reminder not only to celebrate it, but also to take care of it. And September seemed a good time to put it in the church year. Many of us have got off summer holidays, have maybe been out camping, at cottages, trips to the lakes, or just being outside more to appreciate God's world. Does anybody here know who Greta Thunberg is? Yes? You've heard a little bit about her lately? Thank you, on the news. She's that 16-year-old. Think of it, 16-year-old. She first started this when she was 15-year-old Swedish high school student and climate change activist. She was on the Trevor Noah show this past week, and when Trevor asked her if she saw any difference between her home country and Sweden and America regarding climate change, she said yes. At home, we regard climate change as a fact. Here in North America, you're still trying to decide. Wow. Do any of you get the Broadview magazine? Few of you? Thank you. It's the new name of the United Church Observer that has been around for years and years. Her picture is on the front of, I believe it was the September issue, and the words are, "The adults have failed us." Wow, the adults, that's you and me, have failed us. The article mentioned in October last year, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the United Nations body assessing the science of climate change, put a hard deadline on action to avoid a full-out sabotage of the environment at 12 years. It's not that long, you know. 12 years. 2030. Wow. That's kind of frightening. When asked why she thinks adults haven't taken this crisis seriously, do you know what her response was? Because you're not going to be around. Think of it. You're not going to be around. You're not going to have to face the consequences. We are the ones who are going to have to live with the full consequences of climate change. Climate refugees, heat waves, storms, floods, hurricanes, gigantic fires with an increased probability of war and conflict because of these things, and water scarcity. Wow. That sounds like a very bleak future. Almost apocalyptic. Now, Greta has spurred worldwide climate change protests, and September 20th to the 27th, which was just this past Friday, was Global Futures Week. I believe she also spoke to the U.S. Senate, did she not, this past week? A new movement has sprouted called Fridays for Future, and people are encouraged to strike on Fridays in a way you feel safe. March 15th, May 3rd, and this past Friday were all dates students organized to protest in front of the Ontario Legislature in peace or peaceful sit-ins at your Member of Parliament's office. Now, while when I went to their website, it didn't suggest dropping out of school, there were some interesting statements, because it is on Friday. Why study for a future which may not be there? Wow, think of these statements. Why spend a lot of time and effort to become educated when our governments are not listening to the educated? Wow, again, think of those comments. It sounds a bit drastic. Why study for a future which may not be there? Yet that's how many younger people are feeling regarding climate change. What was your biggest fear growing up? Concern, anxiety. What? The atomic bomb. Anything else? Thank you. Absolutely. I was going to tell you I didn't want to hear about how your hair was or how you were going to ask that girl out on Friday, okay? Which were our big concerns growing up. But you're right, the atomic bomb. I know for me, atomic war. You know, a nuclear war. Well, for many of today's young people, it's climate change. How many of you like the United Church Creed? Does anybody here like the United Church Creed? I think it's wonderful, you know? We are not alone. We live in God's world. This is a tough question. Does anyone know what was the last line added to the creed in 1995? Wow! John gets an extra cup of coffee today and a gold star. You know? To live with respect in creation. Can we say that together, please? To live with respect in creation. In a little booklet, A New Creed, A Newcomer's Guide to the United Church, that I give out at baptism classes, it says this about to live with respect in creation. It is a reminder that human beings are not the center of the universe. That God loved and delighted in creation long before Homo sapiens appeared. And that God is present in every creature and every part of creation. And we're asked to give thanks for this world and to help take care of it. If I was to ask you, and I am asking you, to think about the creation stories in the Bible, what comes to mind?
Genesis.
Thank you, the book of Genesis. Anything else? Those creation stories, what comes to mind? How many days? Six, thank you. What happened on the seventh day? Day of rest. Thank you. We are here today. Who were the main characters? God, thank you. Who else? Adam, thank you. Eve, thank you. The serpent, thank you. Wow, awesome. Very, very good. Do you remember in the creation story we read this morning, who was created first? Or what was created first? The Word, thank you, that's John's Gospel. In Proverbs, what was created first? Thank you, wisdom. We are told that wisdom was created long before the world began. The Hebrew word is really hard to translate. It can mean work beside God like an architect or master worker, master builder. Another possible translation for that word is as a young child. Think of that, a young child. While Western European theology has given strong emphasis to the fallen condition of humanity, what boo-boo did Adam and Eve do?
Broke the rules.
Broke the rules, thank you. What did they eat?
Piece of fruit.
Piece of fruit, thank you. We often think of it as the apple. It's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. Wisdom literature, of which Proverbs 8 is a part, generally speaks of God's delight in humans and presents them as God's trusted creatures for whom God has high expectations. Imagine the difference it would make if we truly grasped that God joyfully delights in us, plays with us, beside us as a young child. What difference might it make in both the human psychic and our own? Now, another point I want to make about this third creation story is the huge impact it had on the early church's understanding of who Jesus was. 60 to 70 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, they saw Jesus not only as a person who walked the earth, crucified, dead, and buried, who rose again on the third day, I think that's the Apostle Creed, ascended into heaven, but they also saw Jesus as a personification of this ancient figure of wisdom, or the cosmic Christ. Look how Jesus is described at the beginning of John's Gospel. John doesn't start with the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke, okay, in a stable, shepherds, wise men, but rather begins with the idea of this Word that was created with God before the world. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God and he was the same as God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in creation was made without him. Does that sound familiar? Because it's very similar to the description of wisdom. And then further on in that first chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now the only difference is wisdom in the Old Testament is a feminine word in Hebrews. If you read the beginning of Proverbs 8, it says, "Listen, wisdom is calling out. At the crossroads, she stands. Beside the city gates, she calls." Imagine all the time we could have saved about inclusive language if we would have remembered wisdom, you know, as part of one of the first things that God created. Now, this similarity to wisdom is also seen in Colossians' description of the cosmic Christ. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn like wisdom. Through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen. What's your point, Al? Imagine for a moment if you didn't know the other two stories of creation. Imagine if that passage from Proverbs was the only creation story you knew, which sees an image of God, which they have called wisdom, as working side by side with you, with Jesus, with this ancient figure of wisdom. How do you understand this ancient figure of wisdom as an aspect of God? Another name for Christ. A deep mystery at the core of the cosmos that is calling to you, inviting you to work alongside of God in the creation and to delight in its goodness and play like a little child. Wow. This picture, John, our house is on fire. This was the image that was the background when Greta Thunberg spoke on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. It coincides with the New York Times insert in the Hamilton Spectator the beginning of September. It said, "Warmer earth, more fires. In South America, the Amazon is ablaze. Halfway around the world in Central Africa, vast stretches of the savanna are going up in flames. Arctic regions in Siberia are burning at a historic pace. And such fires present a double whammy to climate change. They not only release large amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, they kill the trees and other vegetation that removes climate warming emissions from the air. Higher temperatures, drier environments, easier for forest fires through lightning, and the fires tend to be larger. What can you do to help increase both the awareness and severity of climate change? What can you do to help take care of God's good earth, as we've been called to do? Have you noticed the signs starting to sprout up on the lawn? What's coming up? A federal election. Does anybody ever get candidates knocking on your door? Has anybody got some of those annoying phone calls? Do you get it? Now, I've been saying thanks, but no thanks. But I need to start talking with them. I need to mention to them about what is your party doing regarding climate change and express to them how that is a very deep concern to you. And then don't forget, after the election, regardless of who is elected, then follow up. And again, let your MP know, what are you doing about climate change? That way, if Greta Thunberg's picture is on a future edition of Broadview, rather than saying the adults have failed us, hopefully it will read the adults are with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're trying a new song today. It's out of the soft-covered Voices United, Each Blade of Grass, number 37, number 37. For most of you, you'll have to look at